Kwan, hey. Great to see you. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic.
I am so excited for you. You just published, I believe, your first book. You, out of the gate, became an Amazon number one best-selling author. First and foremost, congratulations on all the work you put into writing the book, publishing it, but also in achieving that level of success.
It's a dream come true, a couple years in the making, and something I've always wanted to do. There's a lot of information that I want to be able to share and propagate to everybody. And so this was the best way for me to be able to get this out and put my thoughts down. But for it to also not only be published, but to be a bestseller is just another dream and milestone. So I'm excited about that. Thank you.
Now, before we get into the content of the book, I'd love just to ask you about who you are and what your journey's been from where you were maybe out of college to where you are today as a financial professional. Because I know in the book, you capture some really cool stories about this.
I'm in the financial space now, but I didn't start off that way. Paul, I actually was a biomedical engineer. I studied and I did 7 years of research on cancer. My intention was to be an oncologist to help people with cancer. I'll tell you a quick story. I was at the Vanderbilt Cancer Ingram Institute, and I was actually doing surgery on a monkey. All right. And when I was doing the surgery, cut a vein and blood just started spurting everywhere. Right. And the next thing you know, Paul, I was like passed out on the ground. Right. And there was six other scientists there, and they were like, do we take care of Pavan or do we take care of the monkey? Five scientists said, monkey's way more important than Pavan. One scientist took me out, made me feel a little bit better, put water on me. This happened a couple of times, and I realized I can't really see blood, right? It's hard for me to see blood. So it's hard for me to continue my profession in medicine without being able to see blood. So I was trying to figure out what to do. And it's a long story. Essentially, I went from medicine and I worked into the tech space, actually. And not to be stereotypical, but like a lot of Indians, if you're not a doctor, you're typically in IT, right? I was in tech. I actually worked on the first iPhone project. I was out there in California. And when I was over there, I realized I was trying to figure out my 401k.
Yeah.
I didn't know much. Paul, I was trying to navigate my 401k options and it didn't make sense to me. Yeah. It was like a puzzle. And so I tried asking around. Not many people seem to know what to do. In fact, one of my colleagues, I remember Marcus, what did you do? And he said that I just chose whatever was the default. And then I asked another colleague of mine and he said, I just chose whatever Marcus chose. This can't really be the way to financial security. All right. And not me being in finance at that time. I got into the interest of finance because I started to get curious. Let me ask my father. And my father had helped build up Capital One as one of the executives and then retired as one of the VPs. After he left from there, he started up several successful startups and companies, local companies. So I thought, let me ask him.
Yeah.
He goes, Pavan, I know how to earn money. I know how to save money. I'm too busy to figure out what to do with it after that. Welcome to look under the hood, essentially. And so I did. And not me being in finance at that time, I could very quickly tell I was disappointed for the amount of money we were earning. I felt like it could be better. But the hodgepodge of advisors. And so I got the interest to learn about finance, really not pursued as a career, but to actually just help my own family and to learn for myself. Very quickly, I learned that multimillionaires and multi-billionaires have access to tools and strategies that most middle and mass affluent don't have access to.
Sure.
And so that's when I realized maybe I can help my parents out, help my family out, and a few family friends after I helped out a few families in 2008, crash happened. And most people lost a lot of money. But this was when whoever I had helped out, they were fortunate enough that we actually preserved their portfolio. In fact, many of them grew.
What you're saying is that during one of the worst market crashes in recent history, most everybody lost money. And that was across the board. But for yourself, your father, and sounds like a few other people that you're assisting with, not only did they not lose the money, but they actually, some of them grew during that same time period.
Absolutely. So that's when people started to reach out to me and say, can you help my brother out? Can you help my sister out? Why are you not doing this full time?
Yeah.
And I sat down thinking, like, I really love what I'm doing. Initially, I thought the only way I could help people was through medicine, yeah, right? Which is a great way to help people. But I realized that another way I'm able to help is through finance, and I'm helping protect people's hard-earned money and making it more tax efficient and all of that. For close to 2 decades, I'm still super passionate about what we do, and we've expanded a lot since then. It's been pretty exciting. That's how I transitioned from medicine to IT to finance.
I love the story. And how funny is that, where you're, as you said, you're looking to pursue a career as an oncologist, and you discovered along the way that you can't, you don't like the sight of blood.
Whenever I used to get blood taken out or anything like that, I thought I used to pass out because of the volume of blood.
It's just the blood itself. Yeah, that's a great story. Just to reflect back and share for a second, because we'll get into this as we keep talking. The book, really, it's called Effortless Wealth, but it's all about what you describe as SWAN, or the sleep well at night philosophy and approach to investing. And before I ask some questions around that, I can just tell you from personal experience is that I'm 48 and I've never been in the stock market, primarily because I don't want to go through the roller coaster. I don't want, the highs are great, but I'm scared of the lows. And so I'm really excited to have you expand upon what SWAN is, as well as the listeners of this, to be able to get a better insight into what that actually means. What is SWAN? What is the SWAN philosophy that you talk about a lot throughout the book? What is that? How did you discover that? Tell us about SWAN.
SWAN is something that I've trademarked, and it's because, and it stands for sleep well at night. Okay. So just like you and me being a third person that's coming from the outside world of finance into finance, it was really overwhelming. Right? A lot of things started to sound good, but then when you looked at it in real depth, there was fear of when market's going great, you're doing well, things will go down at some point. I didn't want to lose. For me, I wanted to be in a position where I put it on cruise control and just not worry about it every day. I used to see people that, you know, that got super excited when the market's going up, and then they were super depressed when the market was down. And I didn't want my emotional to follow the marketplace, right?
100%.
To me, there's so much depth into the SWAN methodology and SWAN approach, because it talks about mindset, it talks about a strategy, and then there is actual specific vehicles and products that actually fit this model as well too. The idea started off, just like I was telling you in that story about the 2008 crash, right? The inception of it at that point, when I realized the importance of being able to sleep well, how depressing it was for people that lost so much of their portfolio during that time. And then I saw my clients that were initially, hey, if the market is down, you're not going to earn anything. When we talked about it, it was, oh, okay, great. But then when it actually went down and it didn't go down, and they in fact were, they preserved their portfolio, they were like, this is amazing, right? Everybody else was down 24%+, and they didn't, they were at zero at the time, right? Or they did better. And so it really made me realize the value and the impact that finance has on our overall well-being. The number one cause of divorces or health issues tends to be around financial stress. This is the best medicine you can have, right? I didn't want to just treat the surface. I wanted to be able to treat the problem, the root cause. And so the result is, if you follow this, to be able to sleep better at night, whether it's talking about specific financial scenarios or taxes or whatever it is, there are strategies that can be put into place that allow you to not have to worry about it continuously.
So in the book called Effortless Wealth, it's really geared towards busy professionals. They might have a business. Why did you write this book specifically for them?
It's interesting why I have focused on busy professionals. And as I was thinking about it, part of that was going back to one of my root causes, my father. He was a busy professional. Sometimes you could say workaholic type, and just passionate about their career. And these people, like my father, they worked hard. They did the right thing in many places. But then at the same time, when it came to their own personal finances, they didn't put enough attention to it, right? They devoted their life to a career or to an organization or anything like that. And so I wanted to be able to help them out. One, if you're being successful, I think you deserve it, right? You deserve that type of assistance. You're doing a great job in your profession and helping your organization or your clients, but who's helping you? We wanted to be the who for a lot of these people. And what we found out is, just take, for example, a lot of doctors, they're super knowledgeable about medicine. But when it comes to finance, some of them think they have a lot of knowledge, but some of them don't, right? But it's all over the place and it's never comprehensive, right? In what we found. So I think it's okay for everybody to be in their own lane, right? Even though I studied medicine, I'm not going to try to treat myself in areas that I don't know. I'll still go to a doctor for my checkup. I'll still go to a dentist and so on. If somebody is really being successful and doing their own thing, they should also be able to go to a financial person. In our case, we introduced the concept of a family office.
Really thinking back to what you said about your father, he is a successful person, makes good income, knows how to save. But I mean, my own sense, and I can speak about this from my own personal experience, is that we get so busy and good at what we do, we don't have the bandwidth or the time or the expertise to really figure out how to maximize the money that we are saving. And so that leads me to the next question, which is, you also in the book introduce a concept of what's known as a virtual family office. What is a virtual family office, or what's a family office, and how do you use that to help your clients?
So actually, John D. Rockefeller, right?
He's a friend.
Yeah, that's right. Rockefeller was, in many cases, was really one of America's first billionaire industrialists, and growing up, building up his wealth. And as he was doing that, you know, Paul, he realized that he was talking to a number of financial professionals, right? Whether it's real estate people, stock people, insurance people, tax, what attorneys, or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And he realized that all of them worked in their own silos. The real estate person says real estate's the best thing. Stock person says stock's the best thing. Insurance guy says insurance is the best thing. But none of them are actually working together and corresponding together to identify what's the best way to do it. But when you look at the bigger picture, it may not make sense for that person. And it's really important to have collaboration and correspondence with all the professionals. In medicine, if a doctor tried to prescribe something to a patient, but the nurses and the doctors, they didn't collaborate together, that could potentially lead to malpractice. So in the same case, that's exactly what was happening in the financial arena, is that all of these professionals were not talking to each other. But anyway, Rockefeller decided, hey, let me hire the best experts in each of these areas, right? And he did. He said that, okay, you guys all have to work just for me and my family, the Rockefeller family, right? So he created the first essential family office, and with only one objective, which is to grow and protect their wealth. Now, you have to be a billionaire to be able to afford that caliber of expertise and just to work for that one family. And so over time, other people wanted to be able to leverage the same type of strategy. And so that's where the concept of multifamily office came about. And a multifamily office manages anywhere between 5, 10, 20 ultra high net worth families, families that are typically above $300 million to a couple billion dollars.
Essentially, in that scenario, they're pooling resources. So instead of Rockefeller hiring everybody, paying all the expenses, now you have multiple families that are still really rich, but they're pooling those resources for their own benefit.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe for each family, it's 10% of the time or 20% of the time or 50% of the time. Yeah. And then the purpose of my organization was to be able to bring that same type of intellectual capital, same type of tools and resources and relationships that the ultra high net worth families have to families under 300 million to families earning above 300,000. This is the area that we found as the most underserved community, because these are the hardest working people too. And so I felt that they deserved that type of attention that typically the ultra high net worth have as well too. So that's been what we've been doing. And a lot of our clients call us their personal or their family CFO or like their fractional CFO. And that's essentially what a family office is, that we're there to be able to help address multiple areas of concern in our organization. We're a multidisciplinary firm. So we do advanced tax planning, wealth management, risk management, legal services, and business advisory.
Let's unpack each one of those a little bit more. So you said advanced tax planning. What is that? How is that different from me going to my CPA and getting my tax return done every year?
That's a great question. First of all, there's a difference between tax filing and tax planning.
Okay.
There's over 80,000 pages, Paul, of the IRS tax code, right? And traditional CPAs, which is 95% of CPAs, mm-hmm. they know about 1% to 2%, right? And nothing against them. It's just they're still busy,
yeah.
right? And they live in about 150 to 200 pages of the tax code.
And in fairness to them, that's their job, right? That's their expertise. That's why people come to them. It's
yeah.
go those core things to file the tax return. So they're doing everything. Just going back to the idea of silos, they're in their lane. They're doing their thing appropriately.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're following all of the compliance
yeah.
that is necessary for tax filing. And that's what they're there for, right? And that's where we have other areas of experts that understand the other 98% of the tax code. We're able to partner with CPA firms to actually help CPA firms provide proactive services to their clients as well, too.
I think this really highlights it, is that here you are in your expertise in yep. running your virtual family office. And I would maybe describe really being the quarterback in many ways for all these different things as they become appropriate. You work with, hand in glove with CPAs. And between the two of you, still, as appropriate, need to bring in additional experts. It could be a tax attorney. It could be someone that has specific expertise. And you're just from my understanding of what you shared is that your average busy business owner, not only do they not have the time to investigate this typically, but there's such a level of expertise that goes in silos above what you do that you bring to the table that they would never necessarily even be aware of.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, Paul, because a lot of our clients, they keep mentioning, Pavan, I feel like I'm in Star Trek because you're constantly opening new frontiers for us. There's no way that any one person understands 80,000 pages of the IRS tax code. And it's constantly changing and evolving, right? So you have a team, essentially, that's willing to geek out.
I would even go back to the analogy that you used earlier about almost like the doctor's office, and you have maybe your general practitioner, but then you have that person makes out referrals to specialists as appropriate. How does your model work? Are you simply referring other people, or what's different or unique about the family office or virtual family office?
Yeah. So one of the things that we recognized early on in the industry is that if we gave a referral, there was something called referral risk. Never knew if the client was actually being taken care of, whoever the person that we referred to.
Yep.
And if they followed up, if they had the same type of level of customer service, and they have the same type of ethics and all of that, whatever it was. So we started moving away from the traditional referral. When we've developed this virtual family office, some people are in-house, but then others are actually fractional in the sense that they may have their own organization, but at the same time, they're working in tandem with us as part of our team to take care of our client. It's really valuable because I'm in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah. I don't believe Richmond, Virginia is going to have all the best experts in the world. And I don't think any one organization does. But now I have a team of people that they typically address and take care of clients that are ultra high net worth, but they're able to take care of clients that are under the 300 million mark just because of the long-standing relationship that we have with them.
If you could share a little bit more about really how the virtual family office version came into effect. And in my understanding, it has a lot to do with technology, maybe in the past 20 years, but really today, especially after COVID, I'm in one state, you're in a different state. Here we are talking, having this interview. I didn't have to fly out to see you. You didn't have to fly out to see me, et cetera. I believe it's really true with what you're describing is that you could have a client say, you're in Virginia. The client could be, we'll say in Virginia, but the people and the team and the experts that you bring in are the best at what they do in their lane. And they might be living in California or New York or wherever, and you're able to meet with them on a collaborative basis, say on a Zoom call like we're doing now. Can you share just a little more about that process?
Yeah, I'll share your story, just something that's on top of my head as you mentioned it. Just last Friday, we had a call for one of my clients. We arranged, put a team together for this client. We had experts all the way from Alaska to California,
yeah,
to Chicago, to Florida, to Virginia, all there taking care of this one client and talking to them, right? And addressing different needs. But these are experts that are spread out all across the country. We're able to work and collaborate together because of the advent of technology.
Yeah.
We're all able to get onto a Zoom call, collaborate and converse. We're able to share information, share and all of that. It was just awesome. The client in no way would have been able to find this level of expertise on their own.
You mentioned different key aspects that the virtual family office really, you talked a little bit about advanced tax planning. Can you share maybe one more area that you help clients with under the umbrella of the virtual family office?
Sure. I think one of the other areas is you can talk about wealth management, for example. Wealth management is traditionally your stocks and bonds and things like that, right? You have so many people that just follow the traditional means. A typical traditional wealth manager will just talk about wealth. Then you have your CPA that talks about taxes. Mm-hmm. But then this medium in between that could be potentially about certain types of investments that have some tax benefits and tax efficiency. But the traditional wealth manager is not going to touch it and talk about it because it's not in their lane. And the tax person is not going to talk about it because it's not in their lane. Yep. So they're typically the mass affluent get ignored in the space, right? And so this is where we're able to bring in the right experts that have that expertise in that areas that overlap that. I'll add just even, for example, another area that's overlooked is risk management. Risk can mean several different things, you know, from a business, it could be managing risk in certain areas in certain ways, but then on an individual level as well, whether it is life risk, disability risk, or long-term care risk, it could be even managing market risk or inflation as well too. So there's a lot of different things that risk management is really important for, and it's critical component of the SWAN methodology, because the whole SWAN methodology is focused on plan for the best, but prepare for the worst. So you can't just look at one side of that and just plan for the best and ignore the risk of it. Only when you're able to manage the risk properly and appropriately that you can sleep really well at night.
Just from my own experience, you don't know what you don't know, right? Here I am in my mid to late 40s. I have a family. I need to be responsible and get some life insurance. And so that, I believe, is an example of what you're talking about of risk management. So if something happens to me, my family's taken care of. But what was interesting in just learning from you, there's other kinds of risks. What happens if in the next decade, something happens to me where I don't die, but I'm unable to earn the same income that I was? How am I going to provide for my family? And really, the answer is, I have no clue. I don't have a backup plan. It's really up to me to perform and to produce. And so we're going to have a conversation about other types of tools available to help me plan for that risk. But at the end of the day, it really goes back to sleeping well at night. I want to make sure that my money is working efficiently for me. I'm getting the best return possible. I want my money to grow as advantageously as possible. If something happens, I want to be taken care of. I want to make sure that I'm getting the best advice for me, that I'm not relying solely on, say, my local CPA or even maybe a local advisor, because they're in their own lanes.
The concept of who, not how, phrasing it in that way, I mentioned in the book, and the credit goes to Dan Sullivan. We want to be the most proactive advisor that, you know, our clients can go to, right? And so really, we become the who for them to open the realm of finance. Right? There's a whole world out there. In most cases, like you said, people only know what we know. And that's true for advisors. They only know what they know, but they don't know the full spectrum that's out there. And there's so much to learn that's out there. I've been in it plus 18 plus years, and I'm still learning. We allocate a percentage of our time to constantly just learn.
Yep.
I think it's really important to find the right who for your financial space. And that's actually the key aspect of the word that we put in here, effortless. It's not that you're not going to put any effort to it. It's we make it as effortless as possible, right? To make it successful, right? You're going to have to put effort into it, right? But we can do the heavy lifting for you.
I love how you explain that, because I think that's exactly right. I think really embracing the who, not how approach, and you mentioned it, Dan Sullivan, he's a fantastic business coach and author and very wise person. And the book, Who Not How. So just in the context of this conversation, I think it's really identifying who's the right fit for you, who can bring the right solutions and identify the problems and bring the right solutions to the table. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the Amazon number one best-selling author success. For someone listening to this, what's the best way for them to get a copy of the book if they don't already have one, and or to reach out to you if they're interested in learning more about your services?
Absolutely. I think Amazon is pretty easy. So right now you can get the Kindle format, paperback format, and the hardcover format should be uploaded in the next day or two. We'll have the Audible version pretty soon. So there's four formats for people to be able to access the book in whichever way they feel comfortable. And then soon enough, maybe down the road in the local library and Barnes & Noble's as well too. But for right now, somebody wants to reach out, they can go to cotiniandcotini.com. And my email is pavan@cotiniandcotini.com. Happy to see if our services are a fit or if there's another who that we can allocate them to or have them associated with as well too.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. This has been very informative.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.